Good morning, and welcome to Unslip Church of the Nazarene. We give you a warm welcome, and hope you'll enjoy our service this morning. First in the pulpit is Terry Martin, and he's going to be doing the Bible reading, which is from Revelation 22, 1-21. Following the reading by Terry will be our message from Frank Rowley, and that's entitled The Bright and Morning Star. Thank you.
And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They shall need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. From the next verse on, it says in my Bible, the time is near. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show his servants the things which must, have you got that? Must surely come to pass. Behold, I am coming quickly. How many times has a lot of people looked at that and said, you know, even so come Lord Jesus. We've all said that, haven't we? You know, and I say it more than ever now. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of this prophecy in this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his and her work. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Behold, are those who do his commandments, and blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirst come. And whoever desires, let him take the waters of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone who adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part in the book of life from the holy city and from these things which are written in this book. Verses 21 at the end, it says, I am coming quickly. He'll testify to these things, says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So we continue with our theme, continuing theme over the last couple of years, the wonderful names of the Lord. And one of the most beautiful names, one I've only just seen, it's amazing the things we keep just finding, isn't it? Is this. Jesus said, I am the bright and morning star. What a beautiful title, with all that that means. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. This is for the church. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. We're going to look at the message this morning. I'll just give you the outline. But first of all, we'll look at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Secondly, and all the hymns fit in beautifully, Ben. Yeah, I think. Commend you on that. The second point would be the river of life. And then there's a lovely thought built into this scripture, the ring. The unbroken circle of revelation from Genesis to all the Old Testament, the Gospels, the Epistles. It's a completion of the circle. And then we come to the ray of bright starlight. I have never ever in my heart or mind thought of Jesus as one who moved and brought with him the bright starlight of heaven. But that's what he did. And then the reward for every born again believer. Chapter 22 of Revelation, maybe the last chapter of scripture that was written by the Holy Spirit, completing 66 books by 40 authors over 1,500 years. This is our precious treasure. This is our heritage. In a real sense, however, we people here this morning are a continuation of that written word, 1 to 21. It is sheer revelation. And we with the church across the world are writing now chapter 23. We are each in our own lives another verse in the revelation of the chapter of the grace of God to the world. That's how it goes on. Everything that's written is wonderful, but we are a continuation of what has gone on before. We are born again by faith, through grace, and our lives and our work and our witness, we are indeed the living Word of God today. We are the living Word of God. We've been thinking recently that the Word of God and the Bible is the most beautiful book, but if it's locked up in itself, it's just a dead book. It needs to be spring to life, and it springs to life through ministry, and through fellowship, through friendship, and through witness and work. We are indeed the living Word of God. We are read, and we are known of all men. And our great prayer in this church is that this church, this fellowship, shall be known as a place where people will hear the living Word of God, where they will hear something that's relevant, that's helpful, that's inspiring, that's encouraging, that's directional. And I am quite certain that when people get to know what's happening and what the Lord is doing, he will draw people into the fellowship. They will come for what the Lord is going to give them. Not because of what we're doing, but the Lord will use us in that word to reach the people. And that's the wonder. It's his church. It's our church. And it's a lovely church. It's a lovely fellowship. And things are moving in every area in the church. It's lovely to see it. But also, it's the Lord's church. And we are serving him in a wonderful way. We are individually the Lord's voice, we are the Lord's feet, We are the Lord's hands. We are the Lord's heart. We have the mind of the Lord. And this is what marks out churches from churches. There are churches which go through the system, but there are other assemblies and churches and fellowship which know the mind of the Lord for them and for their assembly. That's wonderful. And that can only come through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we seek the guidance of the Lord in all these areas. Our lives simply are another verse in the revelation of Jesus Christ. John was in awe of the angel. He fell down. He was going to worship the angel. The angel said, "Get up. Don't you worship me. Don't you dare worship me. I've been sent of the Lord Jesus to tell you the things that are about to happen. I am telling you." And he said, "Jesus himself is the Lord of the angels. We don't worship angels. Angels worship him." At the snap of his fingers, he could have called 12 legions of angels. They were willing and waiting to come. And throughout Scripture, you have the ministry of angels, created of God and serving him, but in a different way from the way that we serve him. We have known sin, we have known the curse, but we have known forgiveness and the grace of God and salvation, and we are washed and cleansed through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. "No, don't worship me," said the angel to him. "Jesus is the Lord." And so we have the revelation of the Lord Jesus in our text, which is verse 16. It's a lovely verse. Beautiful. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches." We're fulfilling the will of God in preaching from this chapter, through every chapter, but particularly from these, as Tilly has mentioned, through these chapters in Revelation. "I am the root and offspring of David." Wraps everything up in history. These things are known. These things have happened. It's not something new. It's something that's there. "And the bright and the morning star." So everything starts with Jesus. What a message for the world. What a message for academia. Everything starts with Jesus. The heaven and the earth started with Jesus. Because Revelation and Genesis are linked together. You've got paradise. You've got the tree of life. You've got the river. You've got the leaves and the fruit of the trees for food. You've got all these things. I mean, you're linking these together. And this is the fulfillment. This is paradise. It's better paradise. We are now at the very center, the very apex of God's revelation. The heaven and the earth started with Jesus. The sun and the moon started with Jesus. And I tell you what else started with Jesus. The stars. The stars. 100,000 trillion stars. Do you know the brightest of them all? I know his name. I know the name of the brightest star of them all. Men and women were started with Jesus. Jesus was and is the original weatherman. He still is. So stop complaining about the weather. It comes from him. The rain, the snow, the frost, the cold, the wind, the sun. I never ever complain about the weather. I know it's from the Lord, and if he sends it, I'm getting it, and there's nothing can stop it, not even the weather forecasters on television. The book of Revelation, two principal divisions. First relates to the things that are, the present state of the church, the epistles to John, to the seven churches, and also the account of the appearance of the Lord Jesus, and his direction to John to write what he was then seeing. It's a continuing revelation. It always comes from the Lord. "I, Jesus, am speaking to you." And we find that then and also the same excellent precepts, exhortation, commendation, reproofs, and promises and threatenings, they're all there. Take these to the church. Every one of them, not just some simple little message, but these big two. It contains also a prophecy of the things that shall be hereafter. And this is what we're looking at, the things to come. It also describes the future state of the church, if there is to be any help. It will come from here, help and support for every believer. It is there to warn every unbeliever. That's what it says. And so, this morning we're looking at something quite special. Jesus writes history. He juggles governments like a set of coloured balls. He just spins them up. They come and they go. Mr. Gaddafi's been ruling in his own particular fashion for a lot of years. But I'll tell you this much, he's on his way out. The ball is now descending. And that happens to every government, to every president, to every prime minister. That's the way it happens. He puts kings on thrones and dictators in high office. He makes generals and admirals and airfield marshals march to his tune. They're getting shook up a little bit. We don't need as many. They're not as totally necessary as they think they are. We're going to cut back on them. There's no need for the multiplicity of generals and field marshals and all the rest of them. Who's in charge? I'll tell you who's in charge. The Lord's in charge of them. And when they've all had their little day of power, he removes them to the growing heap of humanity. They will, each one individually, be recycled by writers and historians for the coming generations. They've just become a verse in a book, a passage in a book. Jesus started it all and is now in the process of ending it all. I do believe that these are the last days. We're seeing so many signs. Look for the signs. All the earthquakes, the fires, the unrest, the wars, the falling away from God, all those things. Not that we're to be frightened of them. Just look at them and just be aware of them. It's the day of the Lord. He's bringing things to a conclusion. He started it and he will finish it. But in the conclusion of it all, what a glorious time for the believer. The future for each one of us here this morning as believers is exceedingly bright. Jesus started it all and is now the process of ending. That is why the gospel is so imperative. That is why we are a gospel-backed, believing, preaching church. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants, things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. Blessed are those who read it, those who hear it, those who preach it, those who proclaim it, and those who obey it. What a set of promises. It covers every one of us in this assembly. He says, well, the Lord has sent you. You are hearing the word that I have sent by my angel, given to John, translated into scripture, brought to you by the preacher. You are hearing it. It is being preached. You will obey it. You will be blessed. That's how it works. It is a roller coaster of high-speed blessing. What was, what is, and what is to come. We will bless believers through its preaching, and it will break unbelievers and bring them to a knowledge of the Lord. It will build up the obedient, and it will break down the disobedient. Now, there's nothing threatening about the gospel in the sense that the gospel brings life and forgiveness. It's the conception of people as to what it means to join a church that's threatening. But if they realize that the people within that church are friendly and normal and happy and have something to say and do, they are just different in a special life. They are to be people that somehow, around their person and around their life, there is the shimmering, bright starlight of the Savior. You're meant to be stars. Not as the world calls stars. The only people in the world called stars that are worthy of the name are Christian believers, because they walk in the starlight of the brightness of the star of the morning. We see the river of life. We look at it and we are immediately taken back to Genesis chapter 2 and verses 10 through to 44. You'll all know the rivers by heart. Something wonderful is happening with the river Aire. Absolutely wonderful. Do you know, there's trout and salmon swimming around Nostril. They're trying to get them so they can come right through the centre of Leeds. So they're under the dark arches now, trying to build bridges so that they can go up them. Rivers, important. Life-giving streams. Beautiful. Rivers are wonderful. And rivers running out of Eden's paradise, you'll remember. There's a Pison. It runs around Avila. And that river ran through places, and when they excavated there, it was full of pure gold. Well, this river here in heaven, not running out of the garden, but from under the throne of the Lamb, pure crystal, pure gold, full of life. We have the second river, Gihon, which runs through Ethiopia and brought life there. There is the third river mentioned, Hiddekel, east of Assyria. Big rivers, physical rivers, and then we have the river Euphrates, great rivers, but only inconsequential streams compared to the glorious river of life that we have before us. The river of life. It's so superior, the one that we're looking at this morning. It's superior to all the waters and rivers mentioned, even in the millennium. The millennium, that's mentioned ever such a lot in the Word of God. Ezekiel, Zechariah, afterwards at the door of the house we read in the Ezekiel prophecy, waters issued out. Those are waters, that's in the mind, that's a vision. But the waters we're looking at in Revelation are pure crystal. They're superior to Eden's waters, and they are superior to the waters of Ezekiel and Zechariah. Ezekiel goes on to say, by the riverbank, there's the tree. There's a tree, and it's there for the fruit. It's there to be eaten. It's there for the good of the nation. It runs to the east and to the south, and it is the trees of life there as the are supplied by a constant stream of water. The river that we're looking at in Revelations, the last chapter of Revelations, is superior in every way to that tree. It's superior to Zechariah 14:8. There, that shall go out living water from Jerusalem, flowing to the sea in the winter and in the summer. It's a different river. It's a different message. It's a different potentiality. The river of life. We find also this chapter that the Lord is bringing to us this morning. It's like a ring, signet ring. In fact, when you get your sound in the trumpet, there's an article written by Michael in it, the leading article, called The Signet Ring. There's one by Terry and there's one by me. In fact, I don't know, if they took us away from FEM, there'd be only the title page. But that's all right. That's what we're about, isn't it? We're about in helping and serving the Lord and writing and preaching and praying and loving and caring. The ring, the unbroken circle of love and revelation. Starts with Genesis. It starts before Genesis. It starts before the foundation of the world. It starts in the heart and the mind of the Almighty. We have the harmony of heavenly love in the unity of Scripture. Here we see the Father's revelation is compared to a ring, an unbroken circle. Wonderful. The most difficult thing to draw by hand is a circle. Very difficult to draw. I forget which artist he was, but he went for an interview and he said, can you give us proof of your ability to draw? And he said, yes. And he drew a perfect circle, a piece of parchment. He got the job. But, you know, I had trouble drawing circles with a compass, never mind freehand. So we have the continuation, all that's come before, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, the fall in the garden, the restoration through the Saviour, the message of love through the prophets and the patriarchs. You have Isaac, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. In fact, there's a lovely verse in there that speaks about, I am the bright and morning star of Jacob, the Lord Jesus Christ. Between Genesis and Moses, the continuation of the circle of revelation of love, of the Lord coming near to the people to say, here am I, accept me, I will bless you, I will save you, I will forgive you, I will help you. I will help you on every level of life. I will lift you above the ordinary. I will bring you into an extraordinary place in your homes, in your hearts, in your families. And that's what we see in a very loving way. And we can rest in what the Lord is doing. We have a better paradise here than the one in Genesis, the paradise in Eden. We have a better tree than the old tree. The tree of life in Eden brought nothing but the curse and separation. But this tree said it's for the leaves of the nations and the healing of the people. Beautiful. Represent perfection and fulfillment. There's a few things that will not be in heaven. We'll be there, but I'll tell you some of the things that won't be there. There'll be no night. There will be no sea. There will be no candles. And there'll be no dogs. Sorry if you like dogs. There'll be no dogs. And the most telling of all to me, this danger, is there will be no liars. Excluded, they won't be there. I've been dealing with a man and he tells lies. And I trust him and I do things and he tells me lies. And in the end, you don't know where you are with him. He spoils life. He spoils trust. He spoils getting anything done in a positive way because he's a liar. And nothing will spoil heaven. There will not be a single liar in heaven. When he speaks, there'll be no dogs. The Lord's not against Alsatian dogs or Cocker Spaniels. Of course he isn't. But I'll tell you what he's against. He's against those wicked men that went that are likened to the howling, ravenous packs of dogs that used to roam in the old towns and cities of Israel, barking and snapping and bringing all kinds of disease, destroying, horrible, frightening. The Lord just said, there'll be no dog. You won't have to put up with any of that any longer. It will be heavenly in the most beautiful way. The tree of life will represent perfection. The ray of the Saviour's starlight. Let me just close with this. Jesus said, I am the root and the offspring of David. We're talking Old Testament theology now in that sense. Before David was Jesus existed. David was Jesus' ancestor. But he was his greater son as well. This is a mystery. And lots of Jewish people have come to know the Lord by understanding that little passage. I am David's greater son. And they realize he must be Messiah then, just by reading Scripture. The Lord can save people by the reading Scripture. Let's pray the Lord will do this and bring people in every way. I am the bright and the morning star. And when he came into the darkness of the morning in Israel, when he finally appeared in Bethlehem, when he lived in Nazareth, with all the darkness of the generations there, suddenly there, the bright and the morning star, the one who was there at the beginning of the morning came and moved amongst men. And the light, the captivating light of the Saviour was seen. The beautiful truth of the Lord Jesus. We as Christians love the name of the Lord. He is the bright and the morning star. Christians are loving the experience of living their lives, walking in the heavenly starlight of the Saviour's life, that the starlight
that gold, that beautiful sign of the Saviour will be upon our lives. In Jesus' name and for his glory.